Hey, everybody. I wish I could be there with y'all. I know Field's doing a great job. And Field, my friend, what a year it's been. And we're all excited, everybody, about this draft. The most fascinating NFL draft I've ever been associated with. I've been doing this thing for 46 years. And it's why, the reason why is because of the intrigue early. We know, number one, Caleb Williams. Jaden Daniels, we think, you know, Drake May, but then 3, 4, 5, and 6. Where does J.J. McCarthy, quarterback Michigan, end up? What happens with Michael Penix Jr., quarterback Washington? Does he go to the Raiders? Does somebody trade back into the late first round to get him? Where does Michael Penix Jr. end up? That would give you 5 quarterbacks in the first round. Does Bo Nix get into the first round as well to make it 6? How many offensive players go in this draft? The record was would be past 19. So we had 19 was the record. Can we get to 2021? I think we can. You think about Leiatu Latu, what a great pass rusher he is out of UCLA. Where does he go? He had the neck injury at Washington. Does he drop into the mid-late first round? And if he does, he becomes a steal at that point. Cooper DeJean, one of my favorite guys out of Iowa. Cornerback, can be a great safety. All he does is not let anybody get behind him. 3 pick sixes in 2022. Had the injury late, but he had a great workout just a couple weeks ago. Cooper DeJean, I think he's the best overall defensive back in this draft. Where does he come off the board? Where does Keon Coleman, wide receiver, Florida State, go? Ran 4.61, right? Everybody said if he ran 4.55, he's a first-round pick, but he played like a first-round pick. Where does he come off the board? How many offensive tackles go in round one? What do teams do that are in a desperate situation for offensive linemen? The Dallas Cowboys, do they stay where they are? They try to move up? Do they use their first and second round pick? I'm talking about the Cowboys on offensive linemen to help Dak Prescott out. That offensive lineman has 2 studs and 3 question marks, right? They also have a need at running back, could use another receiver, need a defensive tackle and an off-ball linebacker. Dallas Cowboys, this is a critical draft to maintain their position as a playoff slash Super Bowl contender or fade back to where they don't even make the playoffs. The Arizona Cardinals have a ton of picks, a lot of picks in the first 4 rounds. Critical draft for them. Get that big-time wide receiver early and add to that personnel base moving forward. Washington, as well as Green Bay. Green Bay has a lot of picks. Watch out for the Packers. They are a team that went a long way with Jordan Love, caught fire on Thanksgiving against the Lions, leading them to that upset, right? Had that bad throw late, right, in the 49er game, but had a great finish, great second half. If they can build on that and Jordan Love keeps improving, keeps ascending as a star in the making, the Green Bay Packers, based on this draft, could be a Super Bowl team to watch for next year. So as I said, just sit back, relax, and enjoy. Field will take you home. Had a great time doing the First Draft podcast all year. We're going to wrap it up on Monday with our grade show. It's going to be a lot of fun. Enjoy the most fascinating NFL draft in the history of this league.
All right. Look at this crap. By the way, way to know the audience, Kuiper, talking about Jordan Love in front of a bunch, well, not a bunch, but certainly a lot of Lions fans. Welcome to First Draft, presented by Mercedes-Benz, and thank you all for being here. It is great to see so many people turn out for this. We can't wait for the draft over the next 3 days here. I am Field Yates, and that's the least important part of this panel right now because I am joined by 2 mega? Is that even close to enough to describe the stardom of Mina Kimes? And Laura Rutledge, effortlessly talented. I don't know why they agreed to do this show with me, but I'm very grateful for you guys being here. How was the trip in? How are you guys feeling about the draft right now?
This is the highlight of my day, honestly. I mean, we did NFL Live earlier, but to be with you two and all of you, this is really what I've been hoping for all day long. It's great to be here.
I have a confession. This is the first time I've ever been in Detroit.
Really?
I'm really excited.
So your early scouting report on the city of Detroit.
Yes. Well, I just got here. But so far, so good. I mean, we had some pizza backstage. That was incredible.
Yes, pizza. Thanks for helping make this show
possible. We judge things by the food. So that's a really good compliment coming from us.
Yeah.
So far, so good on the food front, which is excellent to know. You know, obviously, the three of us have been talking about the draft a ton over the past month. But it really goes back even further than that. Like, the draft process really starts probably next week for 2025, which is simultaneously, like, sort of a sad thought, but kind of daunting at the same time. So I'm going to bury that for the moment. But as we get ready for the next 3 days, if I were to ask you guys, like, what are you most looking forward to? Whether it's a certain player coming off of the board, whether it's the atmosphere, dealer's choice. What comes to mind? I'll start with you then, Mina.
Well, obviously, pick 29.
Hey!
The only one that matters. No, I am actually very excited and curious to see what Detroit does, of course.
Did you see Dan Campbell's comments today on radio?
No, what did he say?
He basically said they're not picking tomorrow night. He said, essentially, he said, hey, if there's a deal that's there for the taking, we'll listen, and we have to have one of our guys available, which That's right. There we go. Listen, whatever Dan says. Now, that's not exactly the most gracious way to be a host city by trading out of your pick. It seemed like a bad idea until they extended Amon-Ra and Penei Sewell earlier today. Now they can do whatever they want.
Yeah. Yeah, I think we can all agree in Brad we trust here in Detroit, given his recent track record. As I almost fall off. No, I think
over there too.
To answer your question, what I'm really looking forward to, I'm very curious to see, obviously, what happens with the quarterbacks at the top of the draft, whether they actually do go 1, 2, 3, as many expect. And then perhaps, and this to me is maybe the most interesting question of the first round, what happens, there's a local angle here, what happens with J.J. McCarthy?
Yeah.
Because he is perhaps the most talked about player going into the draft, given that he could be drafted at so many different spots. You could see multiple teams going up to get him. You could see the Giants sticking and taking him at 6. You could see him falling. I don't feel like anyone has a perfectly good handle on what's going to happen.
I have a confession. I was going back because I was having a conversation with someone towards the end of the NFL regular season, and I said, I'm going to call my shot right now before it gets popular. Jaden Daniels is going to go before Drake May in the 2024 NFL draft. Trust me, there are a lot of shots that I've missed, but I feel pretty good about that one. And then someone said, what do you think about J.J. McCarthy? And I actually described him as a quagmire. And I realized, the dorkiest person of live to ever use the word quagmire in text. So that was immediately deleted.
Scouting term.
Yeah, there we go. He certainly is a mystery. So, Laura, what would be the thing that you're looking forward to the most?
Yeah, I mean, there's so many things, and this is kind of what Mina's saying with the quarterbacks, but I just think the Patriots pick at 3 is completely fascinating because – depending on what happens, we know it's going to be Caleb Williams, right? I'm not like breaking any news. We're pretty sure.
So, don't spoil the draft.
And then Jaden Daniels at 2, we think. But I mean, I don't know. What if something crazy happens and Drake May ends up going to the Commanders and then Jaden Daniels is there and then there's just like this run on everyone's trying to get to 3 to get Jaden because he's so dynamic. And yeah. I don't think that's going to happen because I think Daniels goes 2. But either way, the Patriots are in such a unique spot. If I were them, I would go ahead and draft Drake May, knowing you're going to sit him behind our favorite backup quarterback, Jacoby Brissett,
love him. Wow.
Jacoby has
okay.
love here. That's awesome.
Joke.
Yeah.
Thank you. He's great. I think it could be for the Patriots the right thing to do, but then you've got to find a way to surround him with some talent. I think he's an incredible player with so much upside, but they don't have the pieces yet for him to be featured that way.
I keep thinking to myself, the Patriots, if they do take Drake May tomorrow night, the opening line from the press conference, it should actually be the owner, Robert Kraft, because, you know, obviously he can set the sort of the expectation for the fan base should be, we love Drake May, but buckle up for a long year, fans. Because, to your point, it's just the roster right now, just relative to the other teams that are probably looking for a quarterback early, just feels a lot different. You know, Minnesota seems like they've got, you know, good infrastructure in place. Obviously, the Bears at the top. You know, the Commanders with at least a solid starting wide receiver duo. But back to Jaden Daniels here for Laura. Laura is the queen of college football. She travels every SEC city. Got at least one nod of agreement over here. I will rely on Mel because Mel has great historical reference points for the past 46 drafts. But he's talked about how this rise for Jaden is the only thing he can kind of compare it to is Joe Burrow. Obviously, same school. That's, I guess, more coincidence than anything else. But when did you know that Jaden Daniels was special? Because he may have entered the season as a fourth round pick.
Right. I think when I really thought he was special was pretty early on in the season because LSU was struggling, especially defensively. Offensively, they looked like world beaters, and we thought, you know, they could win the national championship. I still think that with that offense, what it looks like, right? We'll see where these guys get drafted to, even the receivers. But the way that he handled himself, we knew that the talent was there. I actually did a couple of his games all the way back to Arizona State, and you would see some of the flashes when I did Thursday Night Football, and we'd be like, wow, but he wasn't that consistent, and there were some things he needed to work on. But one of the interesting things when we started to realize he really was a true star, which was very early on in the season, I would say maybe week 2 even, we had a conversation with Brian Kelly on SEC Nation, and we were asking him, like, what does he think about his quarterback? And he's like, I want him to actually do more. I want him to take more risk. In the SEC against those defenses, to say that you want your quarterback, when you know the defense that you have on your team isn't worth much, and you're saying, no, risk it. That's how good you are. They felt like they had such faith in him. And I think it all started to kind of compound on itself, and you realize, wow, he's incredibly special. But the funny thing was, even in the Heisman conversation and all that, it took a little while, I think, for people to say, oh, yeah, he could – be the number two pick in the draft, or maybe even the number one pick, depending on who you ask. That's not going to happen tomorrow night, but there are people that think the skill set is there. And I think when you talk to him, and this is going to be really cool for Commanders fans, if he does end up going there, he's really thoughtful. He is a incredibly smart person, but he's also an extremely hard worker, and he holds himself to a very high standard. So back to Brian Kelly's comments, they felt like Jaden was so, not that he was worried about making a mistake, but he was so worried about affecting the team negatively that he wasn't all the time showing what he could do. I think there's so much untapped there still that hopefully you'll see the Commanders get out of him or whoever gets him in the draft.
Yeah, I feel a responsibility to talk about something that we mentioned as we were sitting downstairs just prior to this, which is that Jaden Daniels played head-to-head against Justin Herbert in college, which I don't know if that's more remarkable because I feel like Justin Herbert's been in the NFL for a long time or if it just speaks to how young. He was a 17-year-old true freshman starting quarterback, the first ever in Arizona State history. So Jaden Daniels had two separate, very impressive careers. I mean, we can talk about whether he should go to or whether it should be Drake May. We've had that debate a million times on various ESPN platforms, of course, on NFL Live. Watch it every Monday through Friday on 4 p.m. Eastern time. It's going to be great. Two hours tomorrow.
2 hours.
Two hours
for the next 2 days. The world wants more of Laura and Mina and Swaggu and RC and Dan. We can't wait. All right. There we go.
Stop.
Hey, we want to get you by the set. We like you over there. Yeah, there we go. Just thinking about what – I have believed, and if you disagree, please let me know. I have believed one thing about Jaden. Now, you're obviously searching for the upside of these players, right? But we all agree that both he and Drake May have a ton of upside. I believe that he has a higher floor, though, for Drake May, because the minute he enters your program, and maybe that's as simple as the fact that he's got 3 more years of college starting experience. Yeah. But do you agree that the skill set that he brings to the table just presents an innate challenge that is less dependent upon the receivers and the offensive line? Like, the way he changes the numbers of your offense and the opposing defense gives me faith that Washington will be an improved offense, even if they don't do anything else the rest of the way to address the offensive line.
Yeah, no doubt. The dual threat ability really impacts defenses, talking about Jaden Daniels, in ways that don't show up in the box score, even when he doesn't run the football, because there's a linebacker spying, you're creating voids in zone coverage. There's often, we love Malik Nabers, who's the speedy wide receiver who will undoubtedly be one of the first 3 receivers taken in the draft. Part of the reason we love him is because he is running into wide open space. Part of the reason he's running into wide open space is because second level defenders are worried about Jaden Daniels keeping the football. It helps the run game as well. It influences the type of coverages he can play. Defenses are afraid to turn their backs on him and play man coverage because if you do, he will punish you. That said, Drake May is also an incredible scrambler. I actually think it's an underappreciated part of his game. And I think one advantage he does have over Daniels is he's big, like Josh Allen size big. And that is going to translate at the next level for sure.
Drake, of course, one of 4 boys. Can you imagine him? I just can't imagine that household growing up. When it's one of them had to be the least athletic one. It was like, hey, the kid who only could walk on at North Carolina to play basketball was the unathletic one, right? Must be quite a humbling experience.
A Florida baseball player, obviously, basketball.
National champions.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know what's in those genes, but they're pretty good.
It's working out pretty well.
And Drake's the baby of the family. Yeah.
I've seen a lot of golf videos from Drake recently. That kid might have a career playing golf as opposed to football. So if football does not work out, he could be the next Tony Romo as far as his golf interest beyond that. Part of the reason why I love doing First Draft with Mel is that we try not to spend all day every day talking about the things that are happening at the very top. It's all, as we all know, there's certainly lots of interest in Chicago, maybe not so much in this crowd, but in general, and Caleb Williams talk. So let's sort of, all right, there you go. Okay. I'm surprised. Do you have security with you or no? Okay, good. All right, we'll make sure we keep the peace for a couple Bears fans that I see here. So let's think beyond the obvious. Let's not grab the low-hanging fruit for a moment here. Is there a team that sort of intrigues you most moving past the obvious candidates? I'll offer my team just to be selfish here for a moment. It's the Bills at 28 because as I think about the possibilities. Sorry, is there – I was going to say, isn't Buffalo Detroit East? It's not that far, isn't it? Chicago. Chicago doesn't like Buffalo either? All right, well, I thought Buffalo was everybody's favorite.
I was going to say, I feel like they're almost mirror images and fan bases of like the passion. Yeah. I think of them as amongst the best fan bases in the NFL.
Right, like patience has paid off for the Lions and
they're
and the
Bills. They're good now. It's really fun.
But I think about the Bills because they have such a dramatic need at wide receiver.
Yeah.
After the trade of Stephon Diggs, but they're clearly comfortable with it, right? I mean, they were the ones that decided to move on from a guy who had 446 catches over the past 4 years. There's definitely ways in which a great receiver falls into their lap at pick number 28, but the window's not closing, obviously. But there's still there's a responsibility, right? Like, to your quarterback,
you really think
you can look Josh Allen in the eye and say, hey, you know what, Josh, going into this next year, Curtis Samuel's your go-to guy, and Mac Hollins is going to play a lot as well. That's a team that comes to mind for me in the back half of the draft that I'm like, I just have my eyes on them.
Respect Khalil Shakir, though. You know.
Yeah, sorry, I forgot.
I'll go with a different team. I got to see my man in a Bengals jersey. I think the Bengals are really interesting at 18, especially, this is not the best for you, but with the news that Trey Hendrickson, their star pass rusher, might want to trade, we'll see how much of that is smoke and real. You never know with trade requests. You know, usually it just involves money, but I will be curious to see if that influences their draft process at all, because at 18, they could go in, I already thought they could go in a number of directions, offensive line, defensive line, pass catcher, all on the table for Cincinnati at 18.
Mm, fun one.
I'm going to kind of give two here. One is selfish, so I'll do that secondly, but I'm interested to see what the Chiefs do. I know that's whatever. They win this. I know. But there were so many needs on that team, even when they won the Super Bowl. Yeah. There's a gnat here.
Yep.
That was a gnat sent by some of you who don't like the Chiefs, and that's okay. I deserve that. But I just think it'll be really interesting. They've at times drafted well, despite you know, having all this success and being later in the first round, obviously. I'll be interested to see if there's a wide receiver there or if they try to get creative.
Yeah.
My other one is the Falcons. I'm from Atlanta. And that's too high up.
No, that's fine. Hey, that's not one or two, which is where most of our real estate has been.
But, like, do they go defense? We were talking about this the other day, and I think it's really interesting at eight. So I'm not exactly sure as a Falcons person what I want them to do, but I would say at this point, potentially Dallas Turner.
It's wild, though, because if they don't take everyone assumes they'll take a defensive player. If they trade out, we could see the first draft in NFL history where the first 10 players are all offensive, which is bananas.
Certainly feels like that's in play. I do have to ask you, so follow up on the Falcons. So for the past 3 years, when they've had picks 4, 8, and 8, they have bypassed taking a quarterback. And I'm not here to tell you that the quarterbacks that I was suggesting for them at those picks have necessarily become home runs. But still, you would think that, you know, at some point you'd at least try to take that swing. There's been some murmurs, and I don't know how legitimate they are or are not, about them taking a quarterback in the first round. What would your reaction be? I know the draft is great because we get to see it live, but
you know,
what is the honest answer here? Well, the non-TV version of what you would be thinking.
I would actually be excited because I would say, okay, there's a plan there. I mean, it depends on who it would be, right? You know, it wouldn't be one of those top three. Like, is Bo Nix there? He should be. Yeah. You would think Michael Penix Jr. would be there. That's a little high to take both of those players.
Yeah.
I think somebody's already gone up and gotten J.J. McCarthy by that point. So, I don't know if they like traded back and got one, that wouldn't make sense. But yeah, if they ended up taking one, I'd be excited about it. I would say, okay, cool. Like, we have somebody for the future.
That's like a very responsible answer by you, by the way. Like, cause I know, like, the venom I see, I love this part of the draft too. It's like fans, and I understand this. I've been in that same boat myself. It's like,
we always
want the first round pick to satisfy our biggest need, right? Like, we need to fill that hole because this is one of the 32 best players ostensibly in the entire country that is available for us to draft. We are up against the clock here in a few moments, so we're going to make sure that we wrap this up in a timely manner. But just for part one, to be very clear, favorite player, regardless of criteria, I mean player to watch, player that you've enjoyed being around, that you think will be taken tomorrow night. Someone come to mind
tomorrow night.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, no, you know what? You know what? Whatever.
I'll give a tomorrow night, and then I'll give a deep cut, I guess. Not tomorrow night, likely.
Okay.
My favorite player to watch is Leo Tulatu, the pass rusher out of UCLA, who he could land with a number of y'all's teams.
Yep.
And honestly, you should be stoked because that guy's bag of pass rush moves is enormous. He looks so pro ready to me. He's a technician. He's so fun to watch. He just gets at the quarterback at a rate that, frankly, is pretty remarkable compared to most pass rushing prospects. And then my later round pick, I do sense there are some Michigan fans in here. I love Sandra Still. Oh my God. He is like, I swear this isn't like a pre-planned SponCon thing, but he is like if 5-Hour Energy was a player.
Yeah.
Right? Like, that dude flies around like an absolute psychopath. I would want him on my NFL team, blitzing the quarterback, just wrecking souls. I think he's so awesome.
I get to claim him because I'm from the state of Massachusetts. We've had like 5 good players ever.
He's from Massachusetts.
Plays high school football in Massachusetts. So yeah, I've never met him. He probably
wouldn't
be able to pick
that
out of a lineup of 3 people, but I love you too, Mikey. Laura, your answer before I say goodbye to
okay, J.C. Latham, I just love. Yeah. And he
who,
calls
by the
himself
way, is bigger than the 3 of us combined.
Exactly. He calls himself the Trench King, which is so him. Like he wanted a nickname for himself, and it came from actually Dion being primetime and all that. But listen, there are some things that are unrefined still about his game. I think he's got so much potential, and really could end up being one of the best to ever do it if he reaches all that potential. And then I got to throw another one out there, and I promise we're not just like doing this for the Michigan fans, but I love Blake Corum.
Future like Los Angeles favorite. Charger Blake Corum.
Like, there's a reason y'all won the national championship.
Honestly,
a lot of good players.
Like Blake Corum, watching him play field level is unbelievable. Yeah. The power with which he plays, it's almost like he's just willing himself forward. I haven't seen many at that position play the way that he does.
So
I'm like rooting for somehow the Chargers. I mean, They need running backs.
I am not dismissing it as high as pick 37.
That's come on,
nothing
get him.
Surprised me. Jim Harbaugh loves Blake Corum like probably
as
much
he
as he
should.
Loves his kids. Yeah, deservedly so. I'm sure you all do with good reason. That's right. Oh, I just learned that.
Uh-oh.
All right. Well, I need to send both Mina and Laura off right now. The first overall picks in any draft, as far as I'm concerned, these two talents right here. Everybody, give it up for Laura.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
All right, so you guys get me for the rest of the show by myself. Sorry for the letdown. I'm kidding. I am kidding. We are moving on to the next duo. And if you love the NFL draft, if you love anything related to football, if you just love like good, thoughtful discourse in general, like I'm about to bring two very smart people onto the stage with me right now. So if they can hear me. Uh-oh. As we get up for more drinks, that's allowed. Please welcome NFL draft analyst for ESPN, Matt Miller, and all things football, plus just life in general, Dominique Foxworth to the stage. So I see at least one of Dom's former teams in the build. I saw a Ravens jersey somewhere. Broncos. We got any Broncos? We got
no Falcons.
We got a Falcons right here. We got two Falcons.
Yeah, all right.
Oh, there we go. All right.
Oh, wow.
Wow. There we go.
I love that.
8-year NFL veterans. How you guys doing? How's the trip to Detroit been so far? I asked Mina and Laura the same question, and they mostly judged it based off of the food, which I think is a very reasonable way to judge
your
city
experience. I was going to say cold.
Cold.
Cold. My first day in Detroit has been cold. Yeah, for you guys, I'm not that tough. So
this is spring? Cold. Man.
Hold on.
Ah, there you go. Yeah. Makes more sense. You guys play indoors, though.
Field gave you a layup and you fumbled it. Mm. We'll try it again.
Right answer.
How's your time been in Detroit? It's been amazing.
There we go.
Yeah. The weather's been perfect. The food's perfect.
The people are great.
Oh, women.
Yeah.
Intelligent and beautiful.
Right.
The men, cool as
it's awesome. Right.
It's been great.
See, you took the words right out of my mouth. I was just going to say that earlier, but Mina and Laura talked for so long that I didn't have quite enough time. But
pizza's fantastic.
Jets pizza, terrific. This 8-corner pizza, right? Out of control, good.
Why do you guys like hot dogs so much, though? That's weird.
But
I feel like there's I'm shocked. There's a lot of hot dogs. Everywhere I go, they sell
hot dogs.
Hot dogs. Like,
really?
I didn't know this.
Is that regional? I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Oh, Coney dogs. Okay.
Okay.
Okay. I just learned that. I'm learning a lot.
I'm an adult male, and I eat no goddamn hot dog.
Right.
All right, so we're gonna cover a lot of ground here. We're gonna do a little game. We're gonna manufacture debate. The first time in the history of ESPN that anybody has manufactured debate as part of our programming. So here we go. We're gonna give it a try. We're gonna throw two prospects out there. I'm gonna let each one of these men take a side. We did not assign the side. We said we're gonna figure it out on the fly. So it's possible you guys agree, but we're gonna make you disagree because that's how this game works. We're calling this our face-off. Start at the top. Jaden Daniels, Drake May. I know which case Matt Miller wants to make at his core. Do you want to make the Drake May case then?
Absolutely.
Thank you, Foxy.
I would love team player.
There we go. All right, so you'll start us off then. Drake May, who we think could be the third overall pick, but if you were the Commanders, why would you take him number two overall?
He's 6'5", 230 pounds, rocket arm, and white. When did we stop believing in the white quarterback? It's confusing. Confusing to me. No, seriously. I think Drake May, the knock against Drake May is a bit of risk taking and that sort of stuff. As if Jaden Daniels doesn't, like, his risks are different. He throws his body indiscriminately into defensive players. That is a risk also, and he's not built like someone who can do it. Like, he's not a Josh Allen guy. So I think there's risk in both of these guys. I was joking, obviously, about my reasoning, but I do think that the switch came out of nowhere. Like, it felt like, to me at least, it was Caleb and Drake May and then everyone else. And that's because Jaden Daniels, like, this is his first year being good. So I think
– at least at this level, right?
And he was great.
Yeah.
So I
best player in college football.
Yeah, I understand the excitement. Heisman Trophy winner. So either way, it makes sense to me. But I do feel comfortable with the body of work from Drake May. It's been longer and also impressive.
I think he just described Josh Allen and passed it off as Drake May. 6'5", rocket arm.
Did I tell a lie?
Yeah, that would be the way to go. I would say that Jaden Daniels experienced. He was the best player in college football last year. He was also the most improved player in college football last year. Two straight years of over 1,000 yards rushing in the SEC. He doesn't turn the ball over. That is a big part of his game. But even going back to Arizona State, he doesn't throw interceptions. And if we're going to throw out the player comparisons, which that's my job, damn it. Don't take my job.
My bad. King right here, as tabbed by Mel Kiper.
Exactly. If Mel Kiper calls you, you can put it on your business card.
Absolutely.
When I see Jaden Daniels can be a Lamar Jackson type player in the NFL, the speed is there. Yeah, I mean, there are times he gets ragdolled by Florida State, but he got smarter. And I would say this, you're going to get hit harder in the SEC than you ever will in the NFL. Yeah. They're going to protect quarterbacks a lot better. So I take Jaden Daniels, especially knowing I have Terry McLaurin, Jahan Dotson, and a not great offensive line. I want the guy who can move and make plays as opposed to Drake May, who's not good under pressure.
Let me ask the audience a question. Just sort of show a hand, just like you can, whatever, nod your head in agreement or disagreement here. Do you feel like the draft process might be a little bit too long? The pre-draft process? Okay.
Wow.
So I that was actually good. So we kind of got both sides. I think from an entertainment purpose, I think for our network, it's great, right? I mean, we have something to talk about during an otherwise lean time of the NFL calendar. I do wonder sometimes, though, if our quarterback evaluations are influenced by the overthinking of right?
Absolutely.
Like,
absolutely
right. Drake, any of these guys could bust, right? They could all become, you know, the best player in the history of the NFL, but they could all also be, you know, backups in 2 years. That's inherent to making the transition from the college to the pro ranks. I do wonder sometimes if we tend to overthink it. And, you know, we've all
– I think we absolutely do overthink the player evaluation. But if you've, like, listened to me talk about the draft on my podcast or any of the shows that I've been on, I think one of the important things that we underestimate and underappreciate is how important the situation is.
Yeah.
So, like, I will feel more confident about projecting how good these players are going to be based on where they end up. And there are a lot of quarterback-thirsty teams that are going to draft quarterbacks, and those quarterbacks aren't going to have successful careers, not in my view at least, not because they aren't good, but because quarterback is such a dependent position. You need receivers, you need protection, and you need a coach who's smart enough to put you in positions to have success. So I think that it reminded me when you were talking about the receivers that Washington has. That does feel like a better situation than most, considering how highly they'll be drafted.
To your point, this is why you should read my article next week about the top 100 picks in the draft, where I get to do that. I get to look at it after the fact and say, oh, wait, this is a really good landing spot for this player. Yeah, top 100. Yeah.
If you want to help me with that, you can. First of all, of course. No, I just think it's an important point to make about the process because I do, and we all have a lot of, it was hard for it's hard to make the counterpoint to Drake May. The guy's a star.
Yep.
But I do feel like every year, this happened to C.J. Stroud last year, where it kind of was like the bloom was off the rose by the time pick two was submitted, and he had the greatest season for a rookie quarterback maybe in the history of the NFL. All right, so move on to the next debate here, and I know which – I'm going to have you make the Malik Nabers case. Malik Nabers and Marvin Harrison Jr. This is a reasonable case you can make. What would it be and why?
Mine would be I want the faster player. I want the guy who dominates after the catch. If there's a hole to Marvin Harrison Jr.'s game, it is that he is a little bit static on the outside. Malik Nabers can play inside, outside. We've seen the production from the slot. 4.33 speed. I mean, he has afterburners after the catch. If there is a Jalen Waddle in this draft, it is Malik Nabers. Or if you want to go crazy, if there's a Tyreek Hill. A lot of people forget, one of the great things about Tyreek is how he's built. He can go up against corners who look like this and just body them because he's a very physical 200 pounds. Nabers, that was not disrespectful. I love this guy. Nabers is 200 pounds. You know, he's built like a running back. And so I think in the NFL where we don't have a lot of great quarterback play, the guy that can get open fast on the perimeter and then make something happen in space is important.
Yeah. I was thinking about answering you, but then I realized where I was. It's okay. You can do the OH call yourself. We got one back there. One brave soul. And is that a Zeke jersey, by the way? Nice. All right. Got a Zeke fan. All right, so you get the Marvin Harrison Jr. take.
Yeah, this is
easy.
Yeah, this is the layup of all layups. I appreciate that you gave me this one. Thank you. So there's one player in this draft that I would bet everything I had on, and I don't feel confident about any player projections other than this one. He has everything. I know you had to make the argument that there's something better about Nabers, and a lot of people have been saying that. There is one receiver in the past, I don't know, 10 years that I think has been as good as Marvin Harrison Jr. coming out. And all the things that you see about him, like your argument that Nabers is a faster player, we don't know that that's true. Marv refused to run the 40 because he's too damn good to waste his time doing that foolishness. We all know Marvin Harrison is going to be the best receiver in this draft. And I think it's pretty fair to project that he is – probably the best player in this draft.
Certainly, I mean,
he's up there.
If you throw away positional value, there's a darn good chance he is the best player in the draft. All right, the Jets pick at number 10 for right now. A lot of people debating. Do they go offensive tackle or offensive line in general, or should they take a Brock Bowers type player? Somebody that's not an offensive lineman versus an offensive lineman, which side do you take?
Yeah, I can be honest about the mistakes that I've made in the draft in the past, and one of them was I argued that the Bengals should have gone with a tackle instead of Ja'Marr Chase. However, I'm not too smart to not repeat those mistakes. Yeah. Get a damn tackle. Your quarterback is 100, and your tackles are also equally as old. They need a tackle. And there's a lot of good tackles in this draft. I understand you could wait until later in the draft to get a tackle, but I don't think drafting a tight end at 10 is as smart for this team that's trying to make a run for the championship.
And I know there is depth at the offensive tackles, but I'm worried for the Jets, though, that like by the time we get to the third round, that depth, that well is
gone.
By the time we get to the third round. So you get to make the Brock Bowers
case. I can make that case. They have a 100-year-old quarterback. They have two 33-year-old tackles. No team in maybe the history of the NFL has been more all in on one season than the 2024 New York Jets. They will all be fired if this doesn't work.
Right.
A backup tackle ain't helping this year. So you better go get some help for Aaron Rodgers. You want the ball to come out a little bit faster. Brock Bowers can be that safety valve over the middle. He could be your Sam LaPorta type impact. And if Mike Williams gets hurt again, and Mike Williams has been hurt a lot, you're going to need someone other than Garrett Wilson who can get the ball. We saw that last year.
Yeah.
It wasn't just Rodgers. It wasn't just the offensive line. The wide receiver room fell apart. So having a Brock Bowers in there would give me a lot of confidence in the pass game.
By the way, Jahmyr Gibbs, Sam LaPorta, Brian Branch, all in one draft.
Yeah.
Sheesh.
Brian Branch.
Sheesh.
Yeah, Brian Branch.
The crowd was already cheering by the time I said Brian Branch. And it's gonna get there. Jack Campbell would be a better player than he showed this past season. So he'll get there. I like the optimism. All right, last one here on the player debates. Better corner, and I'll start here, Matt. That's probably rude to the former corner.
No, you're good.
Yeah.
Quinyon Mitchell or Terrion Arnold?
Man, I thought we were going to talk Cooper DeJean. I was ready.
Oh.
I was ready.
Corner to be entered into the debate.
No, I will go Terrion Arnold from Alabama. But I do think this is really close. And it is like the Nabers-Harrison debate where you're arguing two players say they the same position, but they're very, very different. And I think with Arnold, you're getting someone who's physical. He had 6 interceptions in college. He's a former safety, so we know he will hit you in the run game. And I would say there is no better defensive back coach ever than Nick Saban. If you can start for Nick Saban, I feel pretty good about you. So I will go Tarion Arnold.
Yeah, Quinyon Mitchell, I think, hasn't had as much competition, high-level competition, so it's easy to knock him. I know they had issues with seeing him in press coverage. He didn't do much of that at Toledo, but apparently those questions were answered at the Senior Bowl.
Go Toledo.
Yes. Yep. But he's. I think this is a little bit of personal bias. He's fast as hell. And playing corner, speed matters. Yep. And one of the concerns I have about Tarion Arnold, who ran a 4.51, I think, is at the next level, they get real grabby when you can't run. Yeah. And those penalties will come. So I feel a little bit safer with Quinyon Mitchell. But to be completely honest with you, I feel like cornerback, despite the fact that I played it, you would think that I'd be able to project it pretty well. It's really, really hard to project. I can think back to a couple times that I was so wrong about prospects that I thought were surefire Hall of Fame level.
Remember
talent.
Justin Gilbert? I thought Justin Gilbert was the future of the cornerback position.
My Justin Gilbert is Jeff Okuda. I still refuse to accept
him. In Detroit? Oh.
I know. Wow. I thought, I'm with you. I thought he was going to be great.
I did too.
I just knew that he was going to be great. It hasn't worked out.
There we go. Toledo's in the house. All right, I will quickly interject and just, you know, I'll break the tie and choose a third corner. Cooper DeJean, 4'4", 6 feet tall, excellent in man-to-man coverage, and he's white.
Yes.
We've established that's part of the criteria for scouting players, right?
That joke works better when I do it. it's real uncomfortable when you do it. Yeah. Just to cover my man Phil Yates is back. I'll have you know that we had a good conversation about Cooper DeJean. He's kind of a pioneer. So as you know, there are no white cornerbacks in football, and it's absurd to suggest that white people can't play corner. So we are rooting for the Rosa Parks of defensive backs and Cooper DeJean. We want him to ball out. And I also think that we've noticed in the league in the last few years, like Teron Johnson and Trent McDuffie, like the flexibility, positional flexibility is important at that position. And I think Cooper is probably, despite the fact that Tarion Johnson played safety, I think Cooper is the most attractive player when you're thinking about someone who could be comfortable in a slot, safety, and the outside. So his positional flexibility, I think, adds. I think I might want to take Cooper before I took these other guys because I feel more confident that I'll find somewhere where he can work.
If you don't reuse the Rosa Parks of cornerbacks at
that was great.
I mean, that's just way too good to not reuse at some point.
I've just been trying to figure out how to player comp him to Julian Edelman. I can't figure it out.
Can't do it.
All right, so let's wrap up with a couple of things before we get to some of our great questions here from this excellent, excellent audience. But we have this wide receiver class. Matt, I'll lean on you in this one because you've been doing this as a profession for, 12, 13 drafts now?
Yeah, 12, 13 years.
It's great to have Matt, who's did it forever, Bleacher Report, and then his own endeavor. And now he's been at ESPN killing it for, this is fourth draft?
Fourth draft.
Right. So you got a lot.
Knows my resume. This is great.
I studied before this, but we've been talking about this wide receiver class a ton. How good do you really believe it is? Like sometimes we get caught up in the moment. We say this guy's the best, or this group of players is the best. Does this actually stand above all other wide receiver classes that you've scouted in this role?
I think it does, and the big reason for that is what we have at the top. So I've never seen a draft class with 3 wide receivers who are this good. You know, we've probably seen classes that are this deep. You know, we'll see 6 or 7 receivers come off the board tomorrow night. That's about right. But it's the fact that we have Marvin Harrison Jr., we have Malik Nabers, we have Rome Odunze, who is my favorite player in the entire draft. They would be a number one wide receiver in almost every draft outside of, you know, the one with Ja'Marr Chase, where he was just such an exceptional talent. Last year, these guys would have been the first receiver, and it wouldn't have been close, in my opinion. So it is truly special. I think we have to, provide a little better context when we say this is the best receiver class ever. Well, what we mean by that is it's the top-heaviest wide receiver class ever, and it's a really, really good one. I think that'll be reflected in how fast we see them fly off the board.
Yeah, I think it's deep, too, like you mentioned there. And I know to each their own, I'm really high on Troy Franklin right now. I think there are players later in this draft that have potential to be – true number ones if they're getting the right situation. So yeah, this is, I think it's not an overestimation to say that this is the best receiver draft that we've had in a long time. We'll see how they all pan out though.
And I think people also need to remind themselves that like your evaluation of a class, it's so easy for us to look back on classes and say like, wow, that 2014 wide receiver class was incredible. This evaluation is also based off how we see it going into the draft, acknowledging that not all these guys are going to hit. And by the way, they're going to be players drafted on day three at wide receiver that become absolute stars. Maybe you have the next Amon-Ra St. Brown somewhere in this year's draft class.
It's a nice pull.
What was that?
Yeah.
Okay, there we go. All right, we're going to – yeah, it's hard to find yourself an Amon-Ra every year, so but maybe some team feels like there is a diamond in the rough in the fourth round. Let's talk about the second round. You mentioned Troy Franklin, name I think probably hears his name, probably goes in the second round. Is there a second-round prospect or prospects that each of you says to yourself, all right, I'm all in on that guy?
Just at receiver or overall?
Anywhere. Whole board.
I promise that I'm not playing to the crowd. I am the biggest Junior Colson fan, the linebacker from Michigan. I went to the Michigan Pro Day, got to talk to him. He's a fantastic young man. Yeah. He just, to me, exemplifies what a modern linebacker should be. You have the run and chase ability, the toughness. I think he's a better Nick Bolton, in my opinion. It's like, and Nick's a great player. So if you're getting a better version of that, that would be my like day two. If I'm in a front office, I'm finding a way to get him on my team.
I happen to see Wink Martindale, the new University of Michigan defensive coordinator, by the way. I'm sure you guys are fired up about that one. And he said he was just talking about some prospects, and he loves Junior Colson. Yeah. And that guy knows defense.
Yeah. I like Braden Fisk, which is a surprising one. And watching him on tape, it seemed like he was wrecking more plays than I anticipated for somebody at that level. So I think he's going to end up in second round, and I think he's a defensive tackle from Florida State. I think he'll end up in the second round, and I think he'll be a name that gets bounced around as someone who is potentially near the top of the league at that position.
We had to do a recent notebook, Matt and Jordan Reed and I, and we were filling in our potential surprise first-round pick, and my answer was Fisk. Might not happen because he's an older guy. He's 24 already. But get used to that, by the way, in the draft.
Yeah, at least for this year.
Older players, and also with NIL money, right? Guys are inclined to stick around for an extra year because the opportunity cost is different, right? You might be offered $1 million to stay for an extra year, and that might be enough to justify improving your draft stock from a third-round pick to maybe a late first-round
pick. Jaden Daniels. Day three to top three overall. Yeah.
Let's wrap up this portion of the show before we say goodbye to this to the audio audience, and then we get into the Q&A with favorite prospects. You mentioned, you alluded to Rome Odunze, so if you want to expand on that one, you can, or you can throw somebody else or others out there, and then as many as you guys want, one or 100, somewhere in between.
You want to go first?
I mean, Olu Fashanu from Penn State. He's a DC guy, which is where where I'm from. He's a basketball guy at heart, which like it shows in his footwork. He's a tackle. I think he's someone who right now, I guess it depends on who you look at. He might be the top tackle, or Joe Alt, who is 6'9".
He could be good at basketball.
Yeah, I was gonna say he might be a basketball guy too. But like anytime, I'm always kind of in awe at the big tackles who are incredible athletes, and he's one of them who stands out to me, who has footwork and technique beyond his years, and I think he's going to be a solid left tackle.
Get used to hearing this whenever he hears his name called tomorrow night. He protected for Caleb Williams in college.
Oh, yeah.
Teammates with Caleb Williams. Like, that's the one fact that has to be repeated 3,000 times within the first 10 minutes of him finding a new team.
Yeah, so I said Rome Odunze is my favorite player, so I'll go defense, and you know this field. I love Byron Murphy from Texas. I think there were times he was asked to play nose tackle so that Tavondre Sweat could play in the three technique position in their 4-2-5 defense. And at 6 foot, 310 pounds, he held the nose no problem. Yep. But when he was allowed to rush the quarterback, he did a great job of it. So I see him as someone that could be that. Justin Matabike is my player comp for him. That could be like a double-digit sack performer. His first-step quickness is great. His strength to control linemen at the point of attack is fantastic. So don't be shocked if he's the first defender off the board tomorrow night. My mock draft came out today. Yours comes out tomorrow morning. Can't wait to read it.
Yeah.
And I had him as the first defender.
Four hours to alter it. I think I see –
right?
I know. I don't know if Ben is Ben here.
Yeah.
Ben sitting there. I see you guys are one.
And they're probably
staring
like,
right at you. One row apart. Ben's like, don't you dare.
I feel like we should ask you these same questions. Like,
I know. Right? Who's
you're
your
getting
guy?
Off
who's
the hook without answering.
Prospect Jalen Polk, wide receiver from Washington.
It's a good one.
And, this is such a deep wide receiver class. He could be maybe like the 12th receiver off the board. As an aside, if he's there at 60, is that where the Lions pick? 59, 60? Are you guys used to the fact, like, you guys are going to have to take some five-hour energy shots tomorrow before right. the draft? Like, usually it's like 8:30, and it's like, all right, we're good. We took our pick. You know, let's go get fired up about Penei Sewell or something. Different dynamic. Yeah, we love Sewell. We do. But Jalen Polk, wide receiver from Washington, it's hard to say, you know, when the guy might be the 10th, 11th, 12th player is a position drafted, you're sort of, it feels a little bit ironic to be calling him your favorite prospect. We get enamored by the highlight reels, and those are certainly important, and they do carry some value as well. But I have made the comparison for Jalen Polk to like an old school post player in the NBA. There's like zero sizzle, zero flash. He just gets buckets, right? Like, he just makes contested catches frequently. He's got excellent body control. His speed is going to be probably the reason why he drops. He ran a 4.52 at the 40. But if you go look at the rest of the combine testing measurements and agility drills, like, they were all pretty much in line with some of the guys. Like, he was close with Rome Odunze in a handful of those, and we think Rome might be a top six picks tomorrow night. So I got a lot of love for Jalen Polk, probably one of my favorite players to study in the entire draft. What were the other questions as well? Second-round player? That would hit both of them right there. Peyton Wilson from North Carolina State, another linebacker that I don't know the range. Hardest part, I think, of draft prognosticating, beyond like just getting the analysis correct, is when a player's got a serious injury history, you just have no idea. Like, Peyton Wilson go 120th, which would be Saturday and not Friday night, and I'd say, oh, okay, well, maybe that knee and that shoulder are really that bad. But if you're looking for a linebacker who plays with his hair on fire, who does everything, he's got 6 sacks last year, had a million tackles, won the Bednarik Award, which is given to the best defensive player in college football. He's 24. He will be 24 soon. So he's older with an injury history. That could push him down. But his 4.43 speed at the combine was the kind of speed that adds up with the way that he plays the game.
Yeah, kind of like Jack Campbell. Longer, taller, guy that just erases passing lanes, and a three-down impact.
There aren't that many quality inside linebackers coming out routinely. And it's interesting because I feel like there was a time when we devalued the inside linebacker position, but it feels like, because they are being hunted so often, that we need more athletic inside linebackers. So if Peyton turns out to be a special player, I think he could be a huge impact if the injuries aren't as much of a concern.
You think about like Philadelphia and how they've changed their ways this offseason. Philly would never spend on a running back. And then they made Saquon Barkley, they gave him the richest contract for a running back in like 3 off seasons. Like, Philly, who has notoriously been frugal at the linebacker spot. Like, what if they took a player like Junior Colson or Peyton Wilson in the second round on Friday night? Wouldn't stun me.
You brought up injury, which made me think of Latu, the pass rusher, which, like, if we're going to talk about injury, I think him and Penix are the guys that jump to mind where it's like injuries really impacting them, and if the injury weren't there, the conversation around them would be different.
Yeah, totally. Absolutely. There's a chance that, I mean, you could tell me he goes 8th, to the Falcons, but it would be a reunion with his former head coach at Washington, Jimmy Lake, rise up indeed. Or he could go 24th, and I'd say, okay, if that neck is scary enough to push him down the board, it happened with Jalen Phillips to the Dolphins 3 years ago, it could happen to a guy like Leatu Latu as well. Swimsuit, check. Sunscreen, check. Phone charger, check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now, get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th, one-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. This podcast is proud to be supported by Jets Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jets is better with the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country. There's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8 corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, SAVE. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jets' signature 8 corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, SAVE. Jets Pizza, better because it has to be. All right, we're not going anywhere. We have time for a Q&A, and I believe we had some questions that were submitted already. We'll see how we do here. But Jackson, thank you. Yep.
So we have a few questions. We have a few questions from the audience here, and what we're going to do is I'm going to say someone's name and what you talked about. You raise your hand, and I will come find you. All right.
All right.
So we have Brian T. who has a question about the Lions. Where's Brian?
Oh man, there we go, Brian.
What's up, guys?
How you doing?
Welcome to Detroit.
Thank you for having us. Great.
I got 2-for-1, if that's cool. One. Of all the Lions offseason moves, which was your favorite?
Got to be boring and say the two that took place today. I mean,
that's what I was going to say. Yeah.
Woo. your two, I mean, I don't know, two of your three best players, maybe right. your two best players, maybe Aiden and Jared also in that conversation. Yeah. Anytime, like, that's the beauty of this weekend, right? Like, the goal for the next 3 days is for 32 NFL teams to find Amon-Ra St. Brown and Penei Sewell, right? Guys at the top of the board, you got to nail them. And they nailed Penei, obviously. And then Amon-Ra, I mean, that's a day three pick. You don't expect all of them to work out like that. But that's the competitive advantage that you gain through the draft on the week on day three, is if you nail them, it's, I mean, that is unbelievably valuable to the rest of the roster.
Yeah, absolutely. Couldn't agree more. And this one, this is pending they stay put, which I know we're hearing they might move back, they might move up. But if they stay put, what position do you think the Lions should take in the first round? I think we should go wide receiver. Tell me why I'm right or wrong.
Want to go around the horn here?
Yeah.
You want to start? You start us off.
Yeah, I think defensive line. I think you have a chance to build something great. You have Aiden, who's fantastic. You have Aleem McNeil, who's a great young player. I think especially in the NFC North, you have that chance to build something that gives you an obvious strength over the other teams. Have a local guy, Darius Robinson from Mizzou, who would be inside or outside player, 290 pounds. He could play on the edge. He could play as a three technique. I think having that flexibility on the D line would be great for them.
Yeah, you can never have too many corners. I heard you guys yelling that, but my feeling is more in line with what you said, because I think their D-line was essentially, or their pass rush was essentially Aiden Hutchinson,
yep.
And you can't survive that way in football. You're going to need to be able to take some of the pressure off of him, which may make him an even better player, and I think that could be an impactful position for you guys, where you can change games because you have another pass rusher opposite him, or even right next to him at D-tackle.
I throw wide receiver in the conversation as well, just because, and I hate to bring up source object, but, you know, just the difference between playing in the big game and not is just catching passes, right? You know, we can relitigate the fourth down decision a million times, but you catch the ball and everybody's praising Dan Campbell and calling him, you know, the smartest mind in all of football. That's right. Damn right we do. But interior offensive line, I feel like it's a sneakier need. Obviously, losing Jonah Jackson was part of that. But also, you know, Frank Ragnow is the kind, you know, he's unbelievable. But, you know, the body has taken a toll. At some point, you got to be mindful about preparing for the future beyond guys like that who have been through so much. We do love Frank.
All right, next
one.
Next question we got from Jason Kim. Wants to ask a question about the Chiefs.
Oh, I'm a Ravens fan.
Okay.
But my question is, what will it take the rest of the AFC West to dethrone the division title from them?
They got to stop making yeah. – my belief on the AFC West is, like, I feel like so much over the past few years has been trying to do it all in one off season, right?
Yep.
Like, the Raiders a few years ago signed Jimmy Garoppolo. That might have been the year after, but it was, like, trade for Devontae Adams and then give Chandler Jones a ton of money. Like, I'm okay with obviously, I love signing Max Crosby to a long-term deal, but it feels like teams have tried so hard. The Broncos last offseason spent a ton of money in free agency. Like, the Chargers have a chance because they have Justin Herbert. But it just feels like everybody is trying to make it happen overnight when it's like methodically, it might take 2 or 3 years, but
yeah.
Obviously Tom Brady departing New England was a big part of this as well. But Buffalo realized at some point, if we're ever going to replace the Patriots, it's going to take some time. And what they are now compared to where they were at the beginning of Josh Allen's career is a different story.
Yeah, and I think the key there is to build a team. Instead of looking at, hey, let's trade for Devontae Adams. Now we can go compete with the Chiefs. No, you can't because you're still, you know, bad at these other spots. You still have Derek Carr at quarterback. So you're still deficient in those areas. So I think that's the thing. It's like you have to build a team. And then, I mean, you also just have to get lucky to some
degree.
It's like, but I think to that point, and I've argued this, every team in the AFC has to look at this draft of how are we going to catch Kansas City? And if you're Buffalo and you're not taking chances to get up there with Kansas City, or if you're Cincinnati and you're not swinging the bat to try to get impact players, like, now's the time. Like, don't get cute and say, let's hold all of our draft picks. Like, be aggressive. Go get a player that you think could put you over the top.
Yeah, I don't think that.
Long gone.
Yeah, I don't think so. I don't think that I could add too much to what you guys were saying there. The only thing I would say is that you could take a page out of the Chiefs' book in that you have to be flexible. I think a lot of times teams have an idea of the team that they want to build and not the players that are available and the players that they have. So being flexible scheme-wise, like, all the players in the NFL are good. Like, you can be competitive in any game if the scheme that you implement fits the players that you have.
All right, next question we got from Mikey. What was the pick about this year's draft class?
Yeah, I got a fantasy question for you guys.
All right. Now we're
talking
about
shout
language.
Out for Field and Fantasy Focus Football.
Thank you. Thank you for listening. Can't wait for the season to get rolling again.
Who do you guys think will be the number one pick out of this class?
In fantasy football, I think it'll end up being Marvin Harrison Jr. Because I think Marvin Harrison Jr. has the best chance to go to where I currently expect him to go, which is Arizona. And I don't have a great feel on Rome Odunze, where he'll land, just because I don't think it'll be one of those first four picks. I think Malik Nabers could end up with the Giants at six, and that is, you know, that's a scary situation. Right? They haven't had a 1,000-yard receiver since OBJ, which was like half a dozen years ago. The only other rookie that I'll offer up that could be interesting, I mean, obviously if Brock Bowers lands in the right spot, that could be very interesting. But whoever the Cowboys draft at running back has a great shot to have a massive role right away. And I thought it was like that was cute by Mike McCarthy to downplay the possibility that her back could have an instant impact. I think it was yesterday, the day before, with their presser. But if they take a second-round running back, a third-round running back, there's no shortage of names, even in what is not a great running back draft class, that could have a great impact, because right now, and things could change at any moment, it's the thinnest running back backfield in the entire NFL.
Yeah, not a big Royce Freeman believer. Field Yates isn't. No, yep. You're absolutely right.
Sorry.
And I think, you know, to expand that question, you know, for dynasty leagues, I still think Caleb Williams is the guy. Like, you're still – I know, like, the year one stats for quarterbacks is never super great in terms of fantasy, but, like, I would buy long on Caleb Williams. I know there are a lot of other quarterbacks in this class, a lot of great wide receivers, but, like, Caleb's the guy. And they do have a good setup.
You want fantasy talk?
Nah. I mean, yeah, you guys nailed it. I think it's hard to project
safety from Maryland.
It's hard to project that type of performance without knowing where the player is going to end up. So, like, if you don't have a quarterback, receiver is not going to put up big numbers.
Yeah, that's what makes Marv interesting, is whether you love Kyler Murray, hate, like, he's helped wide receivers have great seasons, even if they haven't had a total star like Marvin Harrison Jr. would be.
All nice. Right, we got one more question. This one is, apologies if I'm saying the name wrong, Jackie.
All right.
Like, I need a microphone. This is cute.
No, you don't.
I know, right? It carries, right? Okay, so I'm going to try to calm down because I'm not a big Caleb Williams fan, because I'm not very fond of how he acted during the draft, but we're going to, like, when we were trying to run our, come on.
Okay, yeah.
Okay, the combine. I'm not very fond of that, cockiness. So we're going to talk about J.J. McCarthy, somebody who's a little more down to earth.
Okay, right? All right, yeah.
Am I from Detroit? Yes.
Yes.
Okay, so obviously
Michigan,
I'm
going to
rep for Michigan.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, natty champs, so of course, right?
Yeah.
So, J.J. McCarthy, where do we think the best fit is going to be for him? We know with his mindset and everything that he's capable of, I feel like a lot of teams aren't thinking about that.
Okay, so can we all agree the best, seemingly most realistic landing spot is Minnesota?
They're not going to like to hear this, but that's what it is. Yeah.
Yeah, I say, like, keep the Michigan hat on for a second.
Yeah.
The Lions hat can go back on in a few moments, but you know, Minnesota just screams good opportunity for whichever quarterback they land, whether it's wouldn't be Caleb Williams, whether it was somehow Jaden Daniels all the way down to, you know, Bo Nix, the sixth ranked quarterback in a lot of people's eyes, just because they've got two capable offensive tackles, they've got two very good wide receivers, they've got an excellent tight end, Aaron Jones now in the backfield, Kevin O'Connell, who I think, you know, I think is a very good solid offensive mind. Like, that's the answer on JJ. And you know, you were talking earlier, Dominique, was about how, like, you know, projecting player, like, you know, the fit matters so much. The minute, probably not after they're picked, but after the first round ends tomorrow night, like, my evaluation or, like, my outlook for Drake May versus J.J. McCarthy versus Michael Penix Jr. versus Bo Nix, if they all go in the first round, is going to be a whole lot clearer because, again, not to pick on the Patriots again, but, like, that's going to be a long road ahead there. So if J.J. goes to New England at three, it's going to take some time for him to, But if he goes to Minnesota, 11 or otherwise, I'm thinking to myself,
it's a smooth road for whomever the Vikings draft, because the infrastructure that's in place is fantastic. Yeah, I agree with you there.
They don't have much of a defense, though. It's getting better, and it's well coached, but that's, you're going to have to score a lot of points.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. But I'm a Brian Flores mensch.
Yeah.
Follow up?
I'm still pissed about the Tony situation.
I'm trying to help you. You can buy real meat. You don't have to, like, you don't have to eat hot dogs. It's more for you. I'll leave all the Coney dogs for you.
Buy Chick-fil-A.
You can aim higher than that. Go to Creek. Go to Jets Pizza. That's what you should do. All right. Well, we want to take a moment to thank all of you for coming out tonight and making this a very special evening on the eve of the NFL draft. For Dominique Foxworth, Matt Miller, Laura Rutledge, Mina Kimes, I am Field Yates. Go Lions!
Thank you.
Thank you for watching First Draft, presented by Mercedes-Benz.